Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they could be found on the web at winbridge.org. Our guest tonight is Dr. Piero Calvi Patacetti, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, what's up?
Well, we're proud to have our returning guest tonight. Piero Calvi Patacetti is a medical doctor. He's an author. He's a professor and scholar of afterlife studies. He's developed a unique approach to help the bereaved and the dying. Piero is a formally trained cognitive behavior psychotherapist, and now he's developed an original patient education approach directed to those who suffer because of the loss of a loved one and those who are in fear of impending death. Piero sits on the Forever Family Foundation Scientific Advisory Board. He's the author of 21 Days into the Afterlife, Adventures in Psychical Research, Apparitions, Proof of Survival, and now a book that we're going to be talking about, Love Knows No Death, which is a self-help workbook and video course. You could learn much more about Piero and subscribe to his blog by visiting drparacetti.com, and Patacetti is P-A-R-I-S-E-T-T-I.com. Welcome, my friend.
Hello, hello, dear Bob. What a pleasure being with you.
Yeah, and we thank you for joining us because we know it's the wee hours of the morning in beautiful Scotland. So
in beautiful and very rainy Scotland at the moment. And it has been a bit of a long day because I've been 3 hours on the bicycle this afternoon. And then, you know, about my other passion, I even played the jazz gig tonight. So, but it's a pleasure, as ever, talking to you.
Yeah, I don't know where you get the energy. As Piero just alluded to, he's a professional jazz musician. He's an avid fan of and participant in sport. Rides the bike. I know he didn't mention, but he does ice climbing and mountain climbing, which boggles my mind. But of course, the thing we like
enough,
about him is
enough of that. Enough of me.
So, listen, we didn't go into your background. We know that you've spent a tremendous amount of time studying, researching, and writing about survival evidence, but we know something about your history and humanitarian work, and I think it's a natural progression for you to now use what you've learned to directly help people. I mean, you're used to humanitarian work, so am I correct? I mean, are you inclined to use your afterlife knowledge to help people that need your information?
Yes, I am indeed, but I'm always a little shy and reluctant to talk about myself. This is not really about myself. It is true that ever since I was very young, I had this sort of innate desire to help, and that has then manifested with me taking an MD, becoming a medical doctor, and then going and working for the International Red Cross and the United Nations. And then if you have a desire to help, when you work for these organizations, you can do that on a really huge scale, and that served very well my, as I say, instinct and innate desire. But then about 10 years ago, as I've written in one of my books, a simple anecdote that my wife Angela told me over tea, we were living in Switzerland, in Geneva at the moment, triggered an interest for this afterlife science. And, you know, you have to remember that I'm a Western educated medical doctor. That is, that I've been, you know, taught and told to believe that all this simply does not exist. And that had been my attitude up to that point about 10 years ago. And that spooky little ghost story that Angela told me sparked a curiosity at the beginning. And then really what developed into a scholarly interest. And I keep saying that to this day, I reckon I've devoured about 30,000 pages of literature on parapsychology and psychical research, and psychical research particularly concerning the survival hypothesis. And much to my astonishment, I must say, I became convinced that in a way we do not understand, we do indeed survive physical death. And this conviction did not come because of a spiritual revelation or because I took up a faith, but this conviction is based on facts. I have studied the facts, and like practically anybody else I can think of during the last 150 years who've taken the time and put in the effort to look at the evidence, you come out with this bewildering conviction, the unbelievable truth, as somebody has termed it. And so put two and two together, my desire to help on the one hand, and the fact that I have understood to the best of my intellectual knowledge that we do indeed survive physical death. And then the idea was born to use this knowledge for, as you said in the introduction, for the benefits of those who are in pain over the loss of a loved one and those who are in fear. Because, I mean, let's not forget that a lot of us, a lot of mankind lives in denial, and those who are not in denial are actually scared about death. And the good news is that there's no reason to be scared because we actually do not die.
Right. So, I mean, you hit on some of the key points. I mean, I think that perhaps the biggest reasons why people grieve when we get down to it are two reasons. I mean, one is love and the other is fear. You know, we love the ones who have died and we fear that they're forever extinguished. And to a lot of people, they would say, well, this is rational thinking because based upon what they've been taught and that this is rational, that, you know, we physically die and that's it. So in the workbook that you've developed and the accompanying videos, I mean, how do you address this? How do you come to teach people that there is an unbelievable truth?
By simply looking at the evidence, as somebody who's actually gained quite some popularity in this field, Victor Zamet, who's a lawyer, he used the legal approach. He said, you know, if we were in a court of law and we were to build a case for the afterlife, the amount of evidence we have, I don't want to misquote him, but the idea is that the amount of evidence we have for the afterlife would be amply sufficient, would be amply enough to commit anybody to the maximum penalty, either death or life in prison. So really, by simply looking at the facts, at what I call the hierarchy of evidence, at the bottom we have anecdotes, and we have a huge amount of stories people tell, pointing to the survival of human personality to bodily death. And this has been going on ever since, you know, recorded history, during all the history of mankind is riddled with stories, anecdotes about pointing to survival. But that's not enough. Although, I mean, I'm certainly not one to discard the evidence we get from anecdotes, because I think they're very, very important. that's not enough. And so since the creation, since the hypothesis of survival has been studied scientifically for the last century and a half, and then with the creation of the Society for Psychical Research in the UK and then its branch in the US at the beginning of last century, very intelligent and very learned people have looked into this with what I consider the second layer or the second tier of the evidence pyramid, which are investigations. And by investigations, I mean typically trained scientists who are very well versed in the scientific method, looking into evidence, looking into the stories people tell, and subjecting those stories to in-depth investigations and analysis, and weeding out what is likely to be true from what is not likely to be true, considering alternative explanations. And investigations, by and large, confirm what people tell in their anecdotes. I'm looking, for instance, just to give our listeners an example of the investigations done on the cases of poltergeist or the investigations done in the case of mediumship. And then let's go on with the example of mediumship and go on to the third layer, which is the top, the apex of the pyramid, which is laboratory. You know, you start with the stories of the people, you go on to train scientists looking into these stories and trying to ascertain whether these stories are true or not. And then, since everything points towards that direction, the direction of survival, we have quite a number of laboratory experiments, and experiments are important because you come out from what we call a naturalistic field. We get into a place, the laboratory, where you can control all the conditions, and you can make sure that if you have an effect, that effect is due to the hypothesis you're trying to verify. Sorry, I'm trying to pack a lot into a short sentence, and I hope I'm not losing too many listeners. Brilliant, bright example with the work that's been done, is actually being done as we speak, by the sponsors of this very show, the Wynbridge Institute, who've been looking into what they call anomalous information reception. And they said, we have all these stories, you know, going as far back as we can trace it in human history, that certain people seem to have the ability to, quote unquote, talk to the dead. Then we had over a century of in-depth investigations by scientists who go out in the field where these things happen, sit together with the medium through the seances, and they come back to and tell us that, yes, this is indeed what seems to be happening. And then, as I said, the third step in the investigation process is take this phenomenon into the laboratory and apply very rigorous scientific protocols, and the results through various replications, as we call them in science, basically, tell us that yes, the bottom line is that it would appear that mediums do indeed talk to the dead. Mind you, the Wynbridge Institute is very careful. Being staffed by highly trained scientists, they talk about anomalous information reception. They say mediums are capable of providing accurate and specific information about a deceased loved one when they know absolutely nothing about that loved one, when they're not in contact with the sitter. So a number of very strict controls are in place, and still mediums are capable of providing this information. For me, since I do not take that particular experiment in isolation, but that is the icing on the cake, if you want, is the final confirmation of what's been reported by people Hodge has been investigated in the field by the scientists and now has been proven in the laboratory, not only by Wimbridge alone, but a number of laboratories around the world. And my conclusion is that, well, I mean, facts tell me that we survive physical death.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have to go to a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about mediumship, and specifically, there's a wonderful chapter in a book accompanied by a video of a medium reading by Gordon Smith, and you analyze that reading. So I want to talk a bit about that. So we're going to go to a break. Stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Wimbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Wimbridge member today. Please visit www.wimbridge.org to learn more.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
We'll be right back.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. Bob?
And, you know, I mentioned before the break that we were going to touch back on the mediumship, but before we do that, I want to get into the basic tenet of the workbook, which is the whole thing is based upon cognitive behavior therapy, and that's a term that many of our listeners may not be aware of. So before we continue, can you just give us a little overview of what is cognitive behavior therapy?
Something that I'm really very happy to talk about because let's, for the sake of simplicity, let's drop behavior, because if we look at the workbook, and this method is principally cognitive therapy. And I'm happy to talk about that for personal reasons, because cognitive therapy about 15 years ago, actually almost 18 now as we speak, literally saved my life, because I went through, I was living in the US at the time, I had no relationship with the fact that I went through a clinical depression, a severe clinical depression. I was frankly suicidal, unfortunately, and literally cognitive therapy was what saved my life. A short course of very focused therapy, which is recognized both in the US and in the UK as the treatment of choice for a range of emotional disorders, chiefly depression and panic attacks. And the beauty of cognitive therapy is that it's very understandable. There's nothing arcane. You don't have to dig deep into this unconscious that may or may not exist. We don't know, but it's all there. It's all in plain sight. The basic tenet of cognitive therapy is that the way we feel depends entirely on the way we think. And I would very much like to, but I'm afraid we don't have the time to give some simple examples. Let's say that that also, to make our listeners understand, that is really the way our brain is wired. The way the brain functions is that a stimulus, something that happens before giving rise to an emotion, has to be interpreted. The sight of a visual stimulus goes from the eyes into certain areas of the brain, which interpret what is being seen, and then the emotion arises, right? So thoughts generate and determine emotions. The problem with depressed people like me at the time, is that we engage in an awful lot of negative thinking, distorted thinking, unrealistic thinking, okay? All these thoughts fill our brain, our mind, sorry, fill our mind in a way which we do not recognize. We take that for reality, but these thoughts are unrealistic. The beauty of cognitive therapy is that it teaches you to recognize those thoughts and to reformulate them, not in a positive way, because that's, you know, they call it the power of positive thinking, and I'm afraid it does not work. It may work for a very short period of time, but then reality catches up. The beauty, again, of cognitive therapy is that it teaches you to think in a more balanced way, in a more realistic way. It teaches you to swap, to substitute negative, distorted, unrealistic thoughts with more realistic ones, with more balanced ones, with more, perhaps cleaner thoughts that better reflect reality. As a consequence, since we have established in the beginning that the way we feel depends on the way we think. If we think better, if we think less negatively, if we think more realistically, we feel less bad. Now, how does this apply to bereavement? Well, obviously, if somebody who has lost a loved one thinks that this loved one has disappeared, has vanished into some black nothingness, obviously the resulting mood is one of desperation, of hopelessness, of utter pain. If the same person understands that that is an excessively negative thought, that does not correspond to reality, because facts, anecdotes, investigation, and laboratory research point to the fact that that loved one is in a way we don't understand, because they don't claim I understand, and I don't think anybody who has studied the field really understands the minutiae, the mechanism through which personality survives physical death. But that loved one is still alive. The title of the book, Love Knows No Death, is that not, it's based on the fact that the evidence shows that those who have survived, those who are on the other side of life, not only go on living in this non-material dimension of existence, but they're still present, they're still aware of what goes on in our lives, and they still love us from the other side. And then again, this is not just a rosy thought that we're swapping for the negative one. This is an understanding of reality as best as we can, based on the study of the evidence. So something I'm also very keen in stressing, keen to stress, sorry, is that I don't think that the pain of bereavement can be taken away entirely. Psychologists talk about a scratch on the soul. A loss of a loved one leaves a permanent scar. And there's a part of the suffering of bereavement that is I consider it an essential part of the human experience. There's no therapy, there's no pill, there's no method, there's no thinking that will take that away. There's nothing to do. However, there's another part a part of the pain that can certainly be reduced. How? By learning different things, by correcting excessively negative thoughts, by understanding that the thought, my loved one has vanished, is not realistic, does not correspond to reality. When people look at the evidence, understand by themselves, and they say, also, I'm very keen, and I'm very, how could I say, I'm insisting a lot on this, because it's not a matter of believing me or believing other scientists or researchers. People have to do the work themselves. They have to look at the evidence, understand for themselves that the evidence points towards survival. Is this process of growing that makes people feel a lot better? I hope I have been clear.
Yeah, and very clear. And so you don't want people to take what you say or what you've written as a matter of faith. I mean, you want them to discover this unbelievable truth on their own through the examination of the evidence. That's the whole premise of the course, correct?
Precisely. The course, the way the course is structured, mimics what happens with the cognitive therapy self-help workbooks. Because as if I found myself in my university classroom, I first present the evidence. We're looking at several different chapters, and there are the chapters of the workbook, which then point to video lessons, which I produced which, you know, present the substance. Mediumship, near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, deathbed visions, all the fields of investigation that all together points towards survival. Let's say that the real substance, the material of this course, because in fact it is an instructional course, the substance is provided in the videos. The workbook is there as an aid to challenge, to help people challenging that substance, because by doing the exercises in the workbook, people will be able to consider, are there alternative explanations? Would it make sense that, I don't know, all mediums cheat, for instance? And I'm sorry, I don't want to trivialize all this, because there's a certain, you know, there's a seriousness and there's a depth about this course. Let's say that the substance, there are elements of evidence for survival, and through the workbook, I try to help people, on the one hand, making sense of this evidence, on the other, convincing themselves that this is real evidence, then these facts are true. And we do that by challenging them.
And so people understand the nitty-gritty about this. The workbook itself is interactive. So, you know, as you read through the chapters, there will be, at the end of chapters, questions that you need to put in the time and address. And then you're directed, you're given links to a dedicated page where you can watch the videos that accompany the chapters as a reinforcement. And I know that you have put in well over 1,000 hours in producing
this. Actually, 2,000, closer to 2,000 hours, yeah. Yes. It's been a tour de force, a monumental work. And I'm sorry. I mean, I brag about that because it's a little pat on the shoulder from me to myself, because that has really been a little bit of a calvary. You know, amongst other things, Bob, I hate the sound of my speaking voice. And so imagine going over and over these recordings. These are video recordings. And I mean, I'm all right with the way I look. That's not a problem. But I hate the way I sound. And so every single recording has been done time and time again. And it's been a lot of work, which I have done practically entirely in isolation. And then again, I'm sorry, I apologize with the audience if this sounds like self-congratulatory, but there have been times when I was really in despair and almost in tears that it seemed so difficult. But then at the end, I think that the product is pretty decent.
Yeah, it's more than decent. They're compelling. Some of them are they're all informative. Some of them are entertaining as well. Some are short videos. Some are longer ones. And I would caution people, since the videos are so interesting, that maybe we live in a video society, and there may be a temptation for people to skip some of the workbook chapters and just go straight to the videos. This is not recommended, correct?
What a very valid point, Bob. Absolutely, absolutely. Studies, research show that when you look at cognitive therapy itself is based on simple exercises. You know, when you have to learn to identify these negative thoughts and to correct them, you have to do that in writing. And it's amazing that the process is very simple. So you may ask, so what's the problem in doing this reasoning in my head? No, research clearly shows that if you don't do the exercises in writing, you have much, much lesser effect. So I completely second your recommendations. If people are interested, do not only watch the videos.
Right.
Put in the effort, put in the time, work through the workbook. That is essential.
Yeah, and I want to mention before we go to our next break that despite the fact of the thousands of hours put into the production of this, the book is available on Amazon at $19.95 with the links to all the videos. There's a banner on the top of the Forever Family Foundation homepage where you can click on, and it takes you directly to the information about the book and information about ordering it. And I also have to mention that despite this monumental effort, Dr. Parisetti has donated the book to Forever Family Foundation simply because he believes in the work that we do, and we know that we appreciate that, tremendously. So all this was not for any monetary motivation. It was purely for the greater good, and we're very grateful to Dr. Parisetti. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, there's much more to talk about. Stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. We'd like to remind our listeners that they should check the events page on our website regularly for all events and announcements. That's www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. There will be no scheduled webinar for July, but you can sign up already for the August webinar with Dr. Claude Swanson. The new science helps explain the afterlife. Where is heaven? There are only commuter spots available at our annual July grief retreat. We're only 50 guests. Come to spend a weekend in a beautiful and peaceful setting with like-minded people, all learning that our loved ones are still with us. The weekend is an all-inclusive and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Joe Shield, Janet Nohavik, and Joe Peretta, working alongside our other professionals and facilitators. It also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. People have attended this yearly event from around the globe, and many return year after year for the new and special experiences. If you are local to the event in Connecticut or care to stay at one of the local nearby hotels and save yourself some money, you may want to snatch up one or two of those few remaining spots. Please be sure before making your reservations, though, as we must maintain a no-refund policy. Our first annual mediumship convention is all set for the weekend of November 11th through 13th, and again, like our grief retreat, we are enjoying an early round of reservations. Like our original Afterlife Conference, this is another first of its kind, a convention totally dedicated to the world of mediumship, run by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, taught by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, and spirit communication conducted by Forever Family Foundation certified medium. Reservations can be made on our website, and as always, again, keep in mind our no-refund policy before making your reservations. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Great Nonprofits, and WellZoo. Visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org for all event links, information, and registration. And lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Back to you, Bob.
And we're talking with Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti. The website is drparisetti.com, and it's D-R in Parisetti, P-A-R-I-S-E-T-T-I.com. Piero, what I wanted to ask you is, what about, I know we're talking about grief and bereavement, but what about those who are not grieving, they don't necessarily believe in life after death? Do you think about what about them learning about the evidence for survival? Might that make a difference in the way that they conduct their physical lives? Or would you, in other words, would you recommend somebody to read the workbook and go through it even if they're not bereaved?
I remember having written perhaps a couple of years ago a blog article exactly on that, and I think that the title of the article was Reasons for Wanting to Know. And I've read a lot of science books in my life because I like to learn new things. Isn't it really fascinating? One of the great, you know, the good things in life, to discover interesting things and to exercise whatever intelligence we have, to nurture it. And that's the primary reason, I think, knowing something new, knowing something interesting, which regardless of the practical immediate value that it may or may not have. That's interesting. Also, secondarily, if I remember what I've written, but I mean, it remains valid, obviously, today, is that I personally like to know what is true, or at least what I, to the best of my knowledge, it's true. And finding out that I have harbored wrong views, that I believed the wrong things, is also interesting, because it's part of perhaps I could describe it as a cleaning process somehow. Having been taught that we are our brain, as somebody says, we are basically biological robots, that consciousness is an illusion, is simply wrong. But I took it for granted. And the process of finding out and understanding that I was wrong is very interesting. It led to a lot of growth, personal growth, I would say spiritual growth, although I'm always very, very hesitant to, you know, bring in spirituality. That is a very personal thing. And the workbook, my approach and what we're talking about has a bearing on spirituality, but it's not a spiritual truth. It's difficult. I don't know exactly how to express this. And the workbook in my approach and afterlife science is about facts. Spirituality is our own take on the facts and what we decide to do with those facts.
Yeah.
Thirdly, please go ahead.
It is about facts in context of the afterlife, and yet so many people in the mainstream, professional and lay people alike, think that putting the word afterlife and science in the same sentence is not rational thought. That's something that you've battled constantly, no?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a colossal intellectual methodological mistake. I would say also moral mistake, but we don't want to go down that way. Absolutely, it's ridiculous, and in a way, this is a territory that I'm very uncomfortable on. But spirituality, or at least certain forms of organized religion, could almost be a hindrance, because what emerges from the facts we're talking about, what emerges from afterlife science, may be actually contrary to some of the teachings of organized religions. And I'm sorry, that's not my fault. That's the way things are. And I don't think anybody wants to be disrespectful to any religious beliefs, but facts point to tell us otherwise. And let me, if I may, very briefly, because there was a third reason for wanting to know, and that's the wanting to know about the afterlife, even if somebody is not actually bereaved or has not lost somebody. And we go back to what we were discussing at the beginning, that's the fear of death. And I believe that a lot of bad things that happen in the world are ultimately triggered by the fear of death. The desire for power, the desire for fame, glory, material possession, immense riches, which I think many of us would agree are not really good things and are not doing good either to mankind or to the planet, are rooted in the fear of death. We try to conquer our what we think is our mortality by accumulating riches, by becoming the president of the world, by becoming the CEO of the universe, and that if we understood that this is, you know, an almost when I say this, I mean the material life, the 70, 80, 100 years that we have to spend on this planet is almost an insignificant parenthesis in a much, much, much larger scheme of things, then perhaps we could put things into perspective and understand that becoming the CEO of the universe is not that important, and then conquering another nation is not that important. And what constantly all the communicators from the other side tell us, love is all that matters, and learning unconditional love is all that matters, is all that we have to learn in this incarnation.
That's a great message, and it's certainly something that we all should ponder, whether even those that don't believe in an afterlife. But for those who come to believe that there is life after death, and also come to believe that perhaps our continued existence after physical death has something to do with the way in which we lived our physical lives, well, that's pretty strong motivation to engage in some introspection.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And one thing that you said before resonated, you know, with regarding religion. We've come across many, many people over the years that tell us that they believe in an afterlife because their religion tells them that it's true. But yet it doesn't seem to have the same, for lack of a better term, you know, staying power, you know, as somebody that goes through, you know, that does the work and the exploration and comes to believe either through the evaluation of the evidence or through direct personal experience, you know.
Exactly, but I mean, we keep revolving around the term belief, and I'm not entirely comfortable with that. Let me ask you, do you believe in the law of gravitation? Do you believe in gravity? Gravity as the force, you know, the fundamental force of nature.
Right.
This is a question. Do you believe in gravity?
Well,
you need to believe?
Yeah, well, the question is, everybody takes that to be a fact, as the truth.
Precisely.
That's how the world
works. You do not need to believe it. It's not a matter of fate. It's not a matter of an intellectual position. You look at the world and you understand that there's gravity, and that you don't speak about belief. You do not believe in Einstein's general relativity. That's a description of the way the world works. And I think that exactly the same applies to afterlife science. You emerge from considering this evidence not as a believer, but having understood how the world works. And that's a much more potent driver for change than any belief.
Yes, and I think that after people going through the workbook, they will see that their so-called belief will turn into a knowing, and I think that's more
precisely
important.
Precisely.
We've come to the end of our time. We've been talking with Dr. Piero Calbi Parisetti. The book, the latest book, is Love Knows No Death. It's a self-help workbook and video course. You can learn more about it on Forever Family Foundation's website, and you can visit Dr. Parisetti's website on drdrparisetti.com. Thank you so much, Piero. As always, it's been a pleasure and an honor, and we know it's approaching 2 a.m., so get some sleep, and thanks so much for being with us in the wee hours.
Dear Bob and Fran, thank you very much for having me, and really warm regards and affection to yourselves and all the listeners to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Joanne Gerber, Vince Mattea, Karen Gould, Stanley Newland, Glenna Irwin, Michael Tim, David Hayes, Marianne Pierzka, Donna Mello, Matt Mello, Fred Feinstein, James Rafferty, Doreen Malloy, Diane Archangel, Joan Lipke, and Isabel Ginsberg. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.